Blog Talk Radio.
Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Less of me,
less of me, and more of you is what I need.
Rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need your
love. Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me.
Yeah.
everyone. Welcome back to Bible study this Wednesday night. We thank God for another opportunity that we can receive, amen, and apply the word of God to our life, that we may live a life that is upright and pleasing to the sight of God. So welcome, welcome, everyone here in Bible study on tonight. I thank God for you. As we all come to receive on tonight, that we may be changed. We don't just come to hear, listen, and to read. We come to be changed, that we may be the doers of the word of God, that all will see Christ working in us, amen, and know that we are children of God. So let us pray as we enter in Bible study here on tonight, as we discuss becoming victorious over verbal and emotional abuse, and knowing what side are we on. Are we the abuser, or are we the one being abused? Amen. In this case, you all understand that we all can be delivered, no matter what side that you're on, where you can identify which one you are. Be delivered and be set free. And not only that, give that word to someone else so they too can be delivered and set free. It's not just for you to receive here on tonight and keep it for yourself. It's for you to share it, whether it's you or not, but to share with someone that's going through, amen, and according to what the Bible says here on tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father God, as we come in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come believing to receive on tonight, oh God, that we may be changed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Your word says, if there were like wisdom, oh God, all we have to do is ask. So we ask on tonight, oh God, that we receive wisdom, oh God, to apply your word to our daily life. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Father God, and we just want to say thank you. We bless you all today, Father God. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Lord, we can't thank you enough, but yes, too, we thank you. We thank you, oh God, that we can come boldly to the throne room of grace, asking and receiving, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we shall receive all that we believe. Amen. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. We come against every hindering spirit on the line, every unteachable spirit. We come against every spirit of distraction. We come against every spirit of frustration. We come against every spirit, every fighting spirit, lying spirit, manipulating spirit. And we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we declare that we can go forward in our lesson on tonight and receive great and mighty right now. Amen. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. Lord, we ask in Jesus Christ's mighty name that you would just have your will, God. Lord, we ask you to allow the scripture, God, on this one tonight to lay root and manifest in us, my body, soul, and spirit. Let your word be engrafted on our hearts and minds, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you are keeping us in perfect peace. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, and we love you. We decree and declare our faith in this song, and it shall be no other way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, if you have any questions or comments, I ask that you hold your questions and comments until we have that opportunity comes. There will be an opportunity during this Bible study where you can ask questions or give a comment. And I do want to encourage everyone to ask questions. I mean, give a comment. You may be helping someone else that's on the line right now or later, because these Bible studies are archived as well as our services. So please ask a question, give a comment. You never know who may want to ask the question again, because they just don't know how to put it together, you know, to ask in order to be able to get the answer. So if you have any questions or comments, again, please be encouraged to ask questions and give comments. Amen. As we enter in, for those of you all who are just now joining us, we are with our continual study on overcoming and being victorious over verbal and emotional abuse. So tonight, we're going to find the book of John. You all, John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So I want you to understand, you all, we're going to talk about another characteristic of verbal and emotional abuse as we go on from this particular scripture. Words, you all, possess immense power. Through a word, God created the world. Through the word, who was made flesh according to scripture in John 1:14, which we just read. God saved the world. See, words can be life-giving as well as life-threatening. Amen? It can be life-threatening, you all. So I'm going to say it again. Words, you all, can be life-giving as well as life-threatening. Hallelujah. See, life-giving by inspiring us to be all we were meant to be, and life-threatening by destroying our hopes and dashing our dreams. Your ultimately words move from being positive to being abusive when they hurt our hearts and harm our relationships. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, hallelujah, and we hear this all the time, but I want you to understand and know how powerful the tongue is. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. My God, my God. The tongue has the power of life and death. See, we don't understand how powerful, a lot of us don't understand how powerful words are, and we have to be careful of what we say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because they are powerful. When you speak a thing, you're planting seeds either in your life or someone else's life. So we have to be careful what we're planting, because words are powerful. They produce. Amen? Amen? So I want to ask you a question here. Are your words grievous or gracious? Are your words grievous or gracious? See, words have the ability to build others up or to tear others down. I had a young lady call me the other day, and she said, "Can I need a little bit of encouragement. Can you just talk to me? Can you just help me out?" She didn't want anything. She just needed me to talk to her, to uplift her, to encourage her by what? By words, what I was saying, what I had to say to encourage and to uplift her, because something happened. Someone said something. Someone texted something. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. And a lot of people have held so much stuff in that are constantly replaying in their mind of what somebody said in their past. We talking about people are harboring stuff 20 and 30 years of what mama said, what daddy said, my Lord, my God, what sister said, what the ex said. Words are powerful, and we need to understand that. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, if you want to go there with me, Ephesians 4:29, I want to make sure I'm not moving too fast. So I'll give everybody an opportunity to get to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. The Bible says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefit, that it may benefit those who listen." I'll repeat it again. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Amen? Amen? There's somebody that needs encouragement by your words. We can either encourage or discourage by what we say. Amen? You are words hurt. And I want to talk about the attacking a person's identity, words that hurt. Let's talk about that here so we can identify what's going on, if we've done it or if we've been on the receiving end of it. Attacking a person's identity by saying you are inherently wrong, you are intrinsically bad, yelling, "Shut up, you look awful," name calling, "You're stupid idiot," "You crazy fool," insulting, "You're worthless," "You're disgusting." A negative picture of the past is if you say, "I wish you never been born," or "I should have had an abortion." People actually say these things. I want you to understand how that would take a negative impact in a person's life. A negative picture of the present, you are, "You can't do anything right. Get lost." A negative picture of the future, "You'll never amount to anything. You're hopeless." People have been told this. You have many stories of people little millionaires now, or, you know, you hear their stories of some teacher or their mother or father or someone said, you're worthless, you're not going to amount to anything, you're like your father, you're just like your mother, you're not going to go anywhere in life. I wish I never had you. These words, you all, hallelujah, my Lord, my God, let us be delivered on tonight from all that someone has said or even what we have said. Amen. Let's talk about words that heal. Because we're talking about the power of words. So we can understand how we can encourage, discourage, how we can give life, and how we create a death situation by the words that we say. Amen. Words that heal, addressing a person's action. You did something wrong. You did something bad. Discussing. Please listen. We need to talk about. Let's talk about what might be more appropriate for you. For you to wear instead of saying you look horrible, you look disgusting. Casting a vision, giving that person a vision of what's good. You're good at what? You're good at cooking. You're good at helping. You're good at encouraging. You have positive qualities. We're talking about words that heal, you know, complimenting. Your life has tremendous value. I can see areas where you have much appeal. You know, those kind of words that encourage, that give life. Amen. Be that person. Be that person. Because I know I'm making a habit of saying certain things when I am addressing someone. Even when I'm on the phone, I always, when I call someone, I say, did I catch you at a good time? And that's just a thing like, oh, yeah. You know, hear people say, did I catch you at a bad time? Did I catch you at a good time? Or my mother, when we get on the phone, the first thing she would say to me is, good blessed afternoon, daughter. Good blessed morning. Just words of positivity, you know. So just being that, you know, understanding that we have control over our words, you know, complimenting one another, you know, giving a positive picture of the past. I was glad the day you were born. You know, I knew God had a special purpose for you when you were born. A positive picture of the present. You do a lot of things right. You'll always have a home in my heart. Imagine someone you love said that, or your mother, your father said these words to you. Amen. A positive picture of the future. Give someone a positive picture of the future. God has a wonderful plan for your life. God has a future filled with hope for you. You have someone that's waiting for you to speak into their life. Amen. They need that word of encouragement. They need someone to tell them, you can go on. You know, to tell them, I see you going forward. I see you making it. I just see how God is working in you, and I see what God is. People need that. We as people need that. God created the world by what he said. He sent the word and became flesh among us to understand how powerful words are. Whether you want to believe it or not, all I just said was this. You said a lot. You said more than a mouthful. So understanding how powerful words are. Amen. If you're just now joining us for Bible study tonight, we're talking about being victorious, becoming victorious over verbal and emotional abuse. I want to talk about what are familiar faces of abuse, you all. What are some of the familiar faces of abuse? See, abuse, you all, wears many faces. Faces are varied as the people who give it and receive it. So abuse can be subtle or blunt, you all, quiet or loud, smooth or abrasive. But with all its differences, you all, abuse is always either verbal or nonverbal in delivery, and it always deeply impacts your personal and social life. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 55:21, if you would write this down, his speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than all, yet they are drawn swords. Amen. Psalm 55:21, understanding that. Your speech, some of us know if we open our mouth and if we really wanted to say something, like I've told people before, you know what, I'm not going to say that. I speak blessings into your life. I rather encourage you. Someone was saying something today, I said, you know what, it's a lot I could say, but I'm just going to say God bless you. May God help you. May God strengthen you. May you have the peace of the Lord all the days of your life. I encourage you on today to be the best you can on giving someone an uplifting word and understanding how powerful it is in itself. Amen. See, verbal abuse, you all, not only limits, but accusing, you know, advising excessively, backbiting, bashing because of gender, race, or religion, belittling, betraying confidence, you all, blame shifting, brainwashing, breaking promises, bullying, complaining chronically about unjust treatment, controlling conversations, criticizing unjustly. I want us to understand this. I'm talking about verbal abuse. Verbal abuse here. Verbal abuse, you all, degrading, you know, demanding false concessions, demanding that unrealistic expectations be met, demeaning family members, denying that abuse ever occurred, denying that the abuse is wrong, destroying credibility, dictating orders, disgracing, gossiping, humiliating publicly, insulting, interrupting constantly, laughing at abusive behavior. Someone did something abusive to you and they just laughing about it. You're hurt about it and they're laughing. Lying or truth twisting. Making fun of a person's fear. You should be saying that. That's stupid. Something wrong with you. I mean, just, you know, making negative comparison to others. Making racial slurs. Minimizing what is wrong. Mocking. Name calling. Playing verbal mind games. Reality switching. Ridiculing. Scapegoating, shaming publicly, slandering, speaking profanity, teasing publicly about sensitive areas, teasing that hurts the heart, terrorizing, threatening suicide in order to control, twisting scripture, undermining other relationships, using coarse talk, using put-downs, using words as a way to deceive, violating the context of conversations. You are wounding with sarcasm, yelling, screaming. We're talking about verbal abuse here. Nonverbal abuse, if you're just tuning in, just understanding the power of words. You are the power. Now, let's talk about nonverbal abuse. Let's talk about nonverbal abuse. Abandoning the family, abusing mentally, abusing spiritually, acting deceptively, acting overly suspicious, arriving late as a form of control, assaulting a person physically, being chronically irresponsible, being excessively jealous, betraying family, friends, and coworkers. My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord, brainwashing weapons, you all, changing rules and expectations continually, committing adultery. Damaging property, driving recklessly, embezzling company money, excluding others from the group, failing to validate feelings, favoring others, forcing an abortion, forcing sex or sexual perversion, giving consenting looks, giving excessive gifts to manipulate, giving snaring looks. Someone told me, if they say looks could kill, you give a person that look. Giving unsolicited help to manipulate. Hanging up the phone on someone. Hiding things like the car, the house keys, money, jewelry, important documents. Ignoring. Interfering with another's work. Interrupting another's sleep. Intimidating physically. Invading another's personal space. Isolating from family. Killing another's pet, making insult gestures, making unwanted visits, manipulating children, monitoring another's phone calls, opening another person's mail, ostracizing, overindulging in order to control, playing cruel tricks, prohibiting another's decision-making, prohibiting the positive friendship of others, prohibiting the private conversation of others, raping, refusing to leave when asked, refusing to listen, refusing to validate another's feelings, rejecting one's own child, slamming doors and drawers, stalking, stealing, sulking, pouting, pity parties, threatening gestures, walking away as a power play, withdrawing emotionally, withholding deserved compliments, withholding deserved credit, withholding finances. I want us to think about this, you all. Huh, my Lord, my God, how many times have you done this and didn't realize it was abuse? How many of you received this and didn't realize, hey, I was being abused? nonverbal abuse. I want to talk about what characteristics, classic passive aggressive behavior. If you have any questions or comments, we're going to be opening up the lines for those questions or comments on tonight here in just a minute. So if you have any questions or comments, just go ahead and write those down. Amen. Also, that you can remember. I don't have to write things down so I can remember. So if you need to do so. I want to understand what passive-aggressive behavior is. Passive-aggressive behavior is a form of covert control. So overt abuse, such as physical bashing and verbal raging or name-calling, is easy to identify. But covert abuse, y'all, like shunning or slighting or ignoring, can be much more difficult to detect, though it is just as emotionally abusive. So passive-aggressive people express anger indirectly and seek to make their points in evasive, underhanded, or deceitful ways. While some people are unaware that they engage in such hurtful behavior patterns, while others are quiet and quite intentional in their actions. So the Bible makes it clear that in the book of Psalm 101 and 7, if you go there with me, the book of Psalm 101 and 7, hallelujah, the book of Psalm 101 and 7, hallelujah. So the Bible says in the book of Psalm 101, verse 7, no one who practices deceit will dwell in my house, and no one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. So you all, tactics used in this type of emotional abuse may include invalidating. I never said that. Your recall is wrong. I don't know what you're talking about. Minimizing. You're just too sensitive. Or you're exaggerating. You're making a big deal out of nothing. How many of us have said that? Or how many of us have they told to us, somebody say that to us? Countering. They'll say, you couldn't possibly feel that way. You've got it all wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Trivializing you all. If you had really studied for the test, you could have made 100 instead of 98. You know, your efforts really fell short. You're giving yourself too much credit. You know, they'll tell you, they'll take your credit away from you. You know, so understanding what that is and identifying it. Amen. Their methods of sabotage, you all, to gain covert control and personal power. The passive, emotionally abusive person will use, I'm going to give you some of these methods that they may use. Fostering chaos is one. Controlling others by intentionally leaving work and projects incomplete. Leaving you purposely stuck out, as we would say. Telling lies or half-truths, controlling others with unjustified excuses for not fulfilling commitments, procrastinating, controlling others by intentionally missing deadlines, displaying no regard for the negative impact on others, being chronically late, controlling others by keeping people waiting, being ambiguous, controlling others by sending mixed messages, leaving others in a wake of confusion about what was said or what was meant, instructing you all, controlling others by offering unsolicited advice on a continual basis. How many of us have experienced that, or how many of us have done that? Being passively indifferent, controlling others by giving the impression that their concerns are heard and important, but then disregard them. They'll act like, oh, they're really concerned about what you're saying and what you're going through, but then they'll turn around and disregard all that you said. Protecting and helping, controlling others by extending help with the intention of causing a sense of indebtedness, you all. You offer the help, or they'll offer the help, and then they'll make you feel like you owe them. All right? Being a quick change artist, controlling others by changing the subject and diverting attention from conversations that feel personally threatened. Withholding affirmation, controlling others by failing to give deserved compliments and deserved credit. Crossing boundaries, controlling others by taking advantage of those with little or no personal boundaries. When we look at when Saul's men were sent to watch David's house, we're talking about King Saul. When King Saul sent his men to watch David's house and to kill him, David prayed. David prayed. In the book of Psalm, we're already in Psalm, but if you go to Psalm 59 and 12 with me, we'll see here what David prayed in the book of Psalm, chapter 59 and verse 12. That's 59 and verse 12. My Lord, my God. 59 and verse 12. I'll give you all a second there to get to 59 and 12. Psalm chapter 59, verse 12. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. All right, the Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 59, verse 12, for the sins of their mouths, for the words of their lips, let them be caught in their pride. My Lord, my God, let them, this is where King David, this is where he prayed. Hallelujah. Understanding here, amen. If you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. If you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. Amen. If you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. We want to hear from you tonight. Amen. All right, y'all, we're going to go a little bit further in our lesson, and we're going to wrap up here, and then I'll open up the lines again. We're going to put a little exercise here. I want you to check and see if it's you or not. Amen. All right, I believe it's a pastor. Oh, sorry. I believe this is Evangelist Kim. Erica 49. Last 4 digits, 9287. Welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, too. You know, I was listening when you were talking about how words, you know, can, you know, make a big impact and last. I was on Facebook when I first started getting on there for a while, and all of a sudden I saw a guy from, like, middle school, I believe, and this guy used to bully me all the time and tease me so relentlessly that that's the only thing I remembered about him. And so he tried to friend me, and I was like, I didn't want no part of this dude. And I'm like, dang, should I still, you know, have these feelings towards this guy like that? But it's just like, all I knew was him being like hell on feet, you know, like a demon. So I didn't want no part of him. And he may have changed for all I know. But when you treat people a certain way and you speak death on people and all kind of crazy stuff, it lasts. Because I can believe I still, you know, had those type of feelings. But that's, you know, he set it up like that. So I didn't want any part of him, you know. But, yeah, but it's the truth. You have to watch what you say because those words can carry it for years and decades.
Yeah. You know what you're saying? When you're speaking into somebody's life and you call them, that really, people have committed suicide because of what somebody said.
Right, absolutely. You're so true.
They're trying to tear you down. You'll be in a happy place. Go ahead.
No, and I'm just saying, that could have easily happened to me, but I was, thank God he made me stronger enough to where I can endure it. But I'm telling you, I went through that kind of bullying as a kid, you know, because we were poor, you know, and so it's like, thank God that I, you know, didn't let those words take me out because they easily could have.
Yeah, that's true. Amen. Glory to God. We thank God for the lesson. I don't know what happened. I think he went out there for me, and I don't know if he's still there. The line went out. But okay, I can hear you now. Well, thank you so much for that comment. All can be honest and know that. Thank you so much. God bless you. And know that there are things that if we really can be honest with ourselves and with each other, there are things that have been said that somebody said years ago and is affecting you today. For some people, it made them push further, you know, to push in, to be the best they could be because somebody told them they wasn't going to be nothing. And they was like, no, I'm going to show you I'm going to be something. And I said, if I could just go back to that teacher or that person who said I wasn't going to be nothing, said I'd be dead at this age so they could see me now, you know, or go back to that one who encouraged me, who told me to keep on, the one that pulled me to the side, even when I was acting up and say, hey, I see greater in you. You're smart.
You know, well, don't get around these other people and let them pull you down. You're smart. You have a bright future. When you know you're messing up, be that person to speak positively. I'm sorry, you are excused from my speech. Like, into someone's life that would encourage them. You have to say, you know what? I really need to hear that. I really needed that right now, and I just thank you for it. You know, just by what you said, you prayed that prayer. You spoke into their lives, amen. And you needed that. Amen, amen, hallelujah. I believe Pastor Manny, and you, Pastor Manny, God bless you. Go ahead.
Amen. I'm here enjoying this lesson, and I realize that, you know, I really have to be honest about it. I've been on both sides. I've been the victim and the accuser. You know, at some point, I believe people become victim first. And as a result, I think that causes a person to develop some characteristics and develop some habits, you know, some hidden things about a person. And I believe when stuff like that happens, you know, when people tear you down with words or whatever it is, or with slander, or if it's manipulation, I think at some point, you know, you can easily become the accuser. At first you was the victim, and then you become the accuser. So that's all I wanted to say is, you know, I'm going to be honest about it. I've been on both sides, you know, the victim and the accuser.
Amen.
According to what this lesson is saying. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty, your openness. You know, I can say honestly, I have too. You know, I've been, I will shut down, you know, because I don't like to argue. I don't like to go, but I will shut down when I find myself on the other end as well. We can be honest. But we thank God for deliverance, and we can be delivered. We can identify. And I say, I've never done that. But in some of the ways we have, even if you didn't say anything, you know, understand the verbal and the nonverbal abuse. You know, I said this, if you were on last Wednesday, I said, well, my daughter, when she was about 15 or 16, one of my daughters, I was not going to give her a whooping. I was just going to ignore her. And I tell you, that hurt her so bad. She was like, Mama, do please whoop me. I would not say anything to her, act like she was out there. And she was really hurt by that. And understand now that was abuse. You know, that was, you know, so imagine somebody did this right now, they would just tear her apart. You know, somebody cut her off. And I was like, you know, but it started right there with there was this one time. I only had to do that one time. They would always rather for me to give them a whooping than to not say anything to them. And so, you know, that, and if you're doing that now, even with your spouse, you know, I have a tendency to do that. Even I'm like, I'm not saying nothing. I'll just separate myself. I'll go. And, you know, now that we're in this lesson, I thank God for the lesson. And I'm saying, hey, that's all right. That's abuse. Whether you're saying anything or not, you're still, that's abusive behavior. And we got to come out of that and get back to that place where God has called us to be, in the place of loving and forgiving and moving forward. Amen. And speak positively, you know, find a way, find the light, because there's light. There's light for us. We don't have to operate in darkness, and that's darkness. Amen. Amen. Does anyone else have any comments or questions tonight? All right. So, as we move forward here in a minute, I want you to grab a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, because I'm going to be asking you. So I want you to identify and see if it's you, if any of these are you. And so we're going to get to that point here, but I want you to go and grab you a piece of paper and a pen or pencil, right? And I want you to take some of these things off and see if this applies to you at all. Amen. So let me move forward in the lesson, and then we get to that point. But I want you to go ahead and grab your pen and paper, or pencil and paper, and put it where you can, you know, you can get back to it after the lesson. Amen. So I want to talk about what are some examples of emotional abuse, rejection, abusive rejection. We all at some point have experienced. I want to believe that we've been rejected in some form or manner by someone. Whether it's on the job or the relationship, or, you know, trying to get on the basketball team or football team, a cheerleader, and you did not get picked, so you felt rejected, or wanted to be a part of a group and they didn't want you to be a part of it, and you felt rejected, whatever it was in your life, even by your mother or your siblings, feeling rejected. So let's talk about the abusive rejection, you all. Rejection, you all, is common to all of us. It's common to all of us. We've been unjustly rejected by a prospective employer, not chosen by a team captain, jilted by a suitor, or ignored by an acquaintance. Yet while we may have had our feelings hurt or our egos wounded, it didn't last long and left no permanent scars. However, some types of rejection can cut like a knife and pierce like an arrow to the heart. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 5 and 9, the Bible says, not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their hearts are filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue, they speak deceit. So I want to give you all examples of overt abusive rejection. So the parent who deserts the family, the parent who tells the child, I wish you had never been born, the parent who tells the child, you are a disgrace to this family, the parent who tells the child, you're just like your sorry father, the parent who tells the child, I wish you were like your brother or like your sister, a parent who tells the child, you will never amount to anything, the parent who tells the child, you were a mistake, you were an accident, you were the wrong gender. Believe it or not, you have parents that say this to their children. And I know some of us said, I would never say that to my child. But some of us have even experienced it ourselves. My Lord, my God, give me just one moment here. You all just trying to get this system to come out. I know you all could hear me, but work with me for just one moment here so I can get back in the studio here. God bless everyone. Give me just one second. I'm almost where I need to be. Okay. The system flipped over here. All right. Thank y'all for staying with me. Amen. Okay. I'm back on the right way. Okay. Let's talk about the examples of covert abuse. You are abusive rejection. The parent who constantly raises the bar with excessive requirements. The parent who demands more than a child is capable of giving. The parent who is that withholds love. The parent who overindulges, the parent who overprotects, the parent who divorces, the parent who commits suicide. These are examples of covert and abusive rejection. Let's talk about what is the cause of being constantly abused. Some people are being constantly abused. See, there's always a price to be paid for pain, a loss to be incurred by the recipient of abusive words and hurtful gestures. The cost is often unseen and extensive in the deprivation, you all, that can continue to damage the soul for a lifetime. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. I want to say it again, y'all. That's Proverbs 15:4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Like Evangelist Ken said, the one person that was, when she went to school, who bullied her and said all these things, is still with her. At this time of day, she said, when she seen the person on Facebook, she was like, I don't want to deal with that person because she remembered what he said and those words that he planted in her life. Amen. Amen. And, you know, a lot of us been there. There are things that it plays, it rings in your mind over and over what somebody said. You know, you've come out of that place and they spoke to try to keep you in that place by what they said to get you to go back into that dark place. You out in the light and they see you shine. They see you moving. They see you doing good. And they don't have to do that but just say something. If they can just get your ear or get your eyes. We have to guard our gates, people. We have to make sure that we are guarding what we put our eyes to and read and what we give our ears to. Amen? Amen. So I want to talk about you all. We have about 16 minutes left here in Bible study. I want to talk about the victims of abuse, what they may experience, and if you've been a victim of abuse, what you may have experienced, just understanding what that is in itself. Victims of abuse, you all may experience loss of self-worth, increased self-doubt, loss of self-confidence, loss of faith, increased fear, increased self-consciousness, loss of happiness, increased emotional flatness, you all, loss of freedom, increased vigilance, you all, loss of inner peace, increased peace at all cost behavior, loss of self-assurance, increased anxiety, loss of security, increased desire to escape, loss of trust, increased distrust, loss of sexual identity, increased sexual confusion, loss of clear conscience, increased guilt or shame, loss of friendship, increased isolation, loss of self-perception, increased self-criticism, loss of safety, increased insecurity, loss of self-respect, increased self-destruction, loss of optimism, you all, increased pessimism, loss of pride, increased self-hatred, loss of hope, increased despair. Hallelujah. I want us to understand victims of abuse, what they experience. And if you've been a victim of abuse, have you experienced any of these? My Lord, my God. All right, you all, what we're going to do here, we're going to do kind of like an assessment here. What self-demeaning statements result from being abused? So what we're going to do, you all, like I said earlier, we have a pen and paper. I want you to write down if any of these apply to you, which I'm going to mention here. I want you to write down any that apply to you. I am defective. What self-demeaning statements, you all, result from being abused? That's what I'm talking about here. So I'll write it down if it applies to you. I'm being defective. I am defective. I'm bad if I feel angry. I am bad for having needs. Again, I'm defective. I am bad if I feel angry. I am bad for having needs. If I am good, I will be loved. If I'm good, I will be loved. I am worthless and an unlovable person. I am worthless and an unlovable person. This is what happens when this is the result of being abused, whether that person has said it or not, they said these to themselves inside, they feel this way because of the abuse, or if you've been there, you felt this way or feel this way because of the abuse. Mistakes only confirm our worthlessness. Mistakes only confirm my worthlessness. If people I care about reject me, I must be unlovable. If people I care about reject me, I must be unlovable. I need the approval of other people in order to be happy. I need the approval of other people in order to be happy. I'm responsible for the behavior and feelings of those around me. I am responsible for the behavior and feelings of those around me. I'm responsible for bringing about change in others when I see that it is needed. I'm responsible for bringing about change in others when I see that it is needed. I must be dependent on others who are wiser and stronger than I am. I must be dependent on others who are wiser and stronger than I am. The feelings of others are more important than my own. The feelings of others are more important than my own. I need to be independent because others are untrustworthy. I need to be independent because others are untrustworthy. I will never let anyone get close enough to hurt me again. I will never let anyone get close enough to hurt me again. Everything I do is wrong. I can't do anything right. Everything I do is wrong. I can't do anything right. Nothing matters anymore. Life is hopeless. Nothing matters anymore. Life is hopeless. Bad love is better than no love at all. Bad love is better than no love at all. Whatever you want makes me happy. Whatever you want makes me happy. I will never measure up. I will never measure up. I will never measure up. I don't see any way out. I don't see any way out. If any of those apply to you today, I want you to know that God loves you. Be encouraged. know that you are more than a conqueror. Know that great is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That God sent his only begotten son. Hallelujah. Because he loved you. To die for you because he loved you so much. Amen. Hallelujah. As we wrap up here tonight, I want us to understand this here tonight before we go. Amen. And if you have any questions, hallelujah. We got one more little exercise here before we go, you all. We might have to do it next Wednesday. Amen. You may, I think we have enough time to go through it quickly. Are your relationships healthy or unhealthy? That's the question. Are you in an abusive relationship? Have you experienced an unhealthy dynamic between you and someone close to you? See, many people fail to recognize that they are in an abusive relationship because abuse has been their normal for so long. So if you look closely, or if you've been in your past, if you've been in a relationship and you know you got out, hallelujah, if you look closely, you can evaluate the health of any relationship by seeing the type of fruit it produces, whether the fruit is good or bad. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 18 through 20, Matthew 7, 18 through 20, the Bible says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Amen? So don't let somebody tell you if they bear it, they're supposed to be an orange tree, but they bear an apple. And they try to tell you, no, I'm an orange tree. I know you see oranges, but I'm an apple. I'm good. So we got to understand, whatever they're showing you, I always just say, don't let somebody talk you into seeing something different. Because people try to talk you, even though they're bad at behavior and it's negative and it's toxic, they're trying to talk you into seeing something different from what they are doing. So be careful and know that the fruit that tree is bearing. I want to do a fruit test, you all, before we wrap up here. And if you have any questions or comments, I'll be happy to take those questions and comments from you in the last few minutes of Bible study. Let's do a fruit test, you all. As a help in realistically evaluating a relationship close to you, I want us to take this fruit test. There is the fruit of the abusive spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So I want you all to mark down for yourself, yes or no, for the other person in the relationship, okay? So I want you to mark yes or no for yourself, and I want you to write yes or no for the other person, okay? So I want you to mark yes or no for yourself and yes or no for the other person, okay? So you are the fruit of the abusive spirit, what the sin of nature produces. So if the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and 15 and 19 to 20, it says, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions. You all, this is what the sinful nature produces. So again, that is in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 15 and 19 through 20. So you can read it for yourself. So let's do this fruit test. We have a few minutes left here in Bible study. Okay? Biting. So biting, is this you having a sharp and biting tongue that often hurts the heart? Is that yes for you or for the other person you're in a relationship with? Is that yes for you or the other person? Biting, having a sharp, biting tongue that often hurts the heart, okay? Is that yes for you or yes for the other person, or no for you and no for the other person? Devouring, being so overly controlling that the identity of another seems to be destroyed. Is that yes for you? Are you devouring? Or yes for the other person? Or no for you? Or no for the other person? Hatred. Displaying disdain or animosity toward another person. Yes for you or no for you?
a yes for the other person, a no for the other person. Hatred, displaying disdain or animosity toward another person. Discord, starting arguments that result in tension and strife. Discord, starting arguments that result in tension and strife. Is that yes for you or for the other person, or no for you or the other person? Jealousy, you and others as rivals while possessively wanting to exclude them. You and others as rivals while possessively wanting to exclude them. Jealousy, yes for you or the other person, or no for you and no for the other person. Rage, displaying out of control anger. Yes for you or no for the other person. Displaying out of control anger. That is rage. Selfishness, seeking to satisfy personal desires with little or no regard for the desires of another. Selfishness, seeking to satisfy personal desires with little or no regard for the desires of another. Is that yes for you? And it's for your own personal records, you know, so you can pray and be delivered from that, whether you're giving or receiving it. Yes for you or for the other person. Dissensions, you all, frequently voicing disagreements and disapproval. Dissensions, you all, frequently voicing disagreements and disapproval. Quick to disagree. Quick to say no. Quick to disapprove. Yes for you or no for you, and yes for the other person. Factions, causes splits between others instead of seeking unity. Factions, causing splits between others instead of seeking unity. In other words, division between others. You all that are seeking unity. Is that yes for you or yes for the other or no for both? My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. So you all, one more here. We're going to wrap up here. We have a few minutes. We thank God for the lesson on tonight as we're doing our fruit test, the fruits of the Spirit, what the Spirit produces. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So again, we're doing a fruit test, y'all. So yes or no for you, or yes or no for the other person. Love, seeking to do what is the best interest of another. Love, are you operating in love? Are you operating with the fruit, hallelujah, of the Spirit of love? Joy, living with an inner gladness of heart, regardless of challenging circumstances. Joy, yes or no, for you or the other person. Peace, displaying tranquility in the midst of hardships and trials. Displaying tranquility in the midst of hardship and trials. Yes or no for you or the other person. Patience, enduring difficulties calmly without complaint. Patience, yes or no. Kindness, expressing genuine care and helping with a benevolent heart. Kindness. Goodness, displaying moral character and godly virtue with a pure heart. Yes or no for you or the other person. Faithfulness, being loyal to appropriate significant relationships. Faithfulness, yes for you, I know, or yes for the other person. Gentleness, treating others with sincere respect, displaying a soothing disposition. Yes or no for you or the other person. Self-control, exercising restraint rather than choosing to be undisciplined. Yes or no for you or the other person. As we wrap up here, you all, later ask someone close to you or someone whom you trust and who will tell you the truth to help you evaluate your responses today. Hallelujah, with the fruits of the Spirit test. The Bible says in the book of Luke 3:8, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Amen. In order to keep it, you all, make sure that we repent. And what that means, stop doing it. Come out. In the name of Jesus. At this time, if you have any questions or comments as we wrap up here, amen, we've reached our hour mark here. So if you have any questions or comments, please press 1 at this time. If not, we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. We thank God on tonight for the lesson we've brought. I hope you all were able to receive on tonight, be delivered, amen, see where you are, where you've been, how far you've come. Amen. I know I've said some things, I've done some things, I've identified some things in the lesson that I myself need to be delivered from and stay delivered. That's not doing it one time, but repenting and coming out of that place and deciding to walk in the light. Amen. We've been called to be the light of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So we thank God for this marvelous light on tonight. If you have any questions or comments, now for those of you all, excuse me, for those of you all that had comments or questions earlier, I will go ahead and I'm just going to ask you if you have any questions because I can't tell. Once you press 1, it still shows your hand is up. So if you don't have any questions or comments, just say amen. Amen, all right. Evangelist Kim, do you have any questions or comments?
I don't. Thank you.
Amen.
I don't.
God bless you.
Oh.
All right. Amen. Pastor Manning, God bless you. You have any questions or comments?
Amen. Amen. Thank you for the lesson tonight.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, God bless everyone on tonight. You all have a merry, merry Christmas. We are back in church service on Sunday at 10 a.m. We have something special for you at the 10 a.m. and the 2 p.m. service. We hope to see you all in church on Sunday. God bless you. May you get all that you're hoping to receive most of our life. Amen. To be in the land of the living to celebrate the holiday of the life and the birth of Christ. For we don't know what day he was actually born on, but we have taken the time out to celebrate coming into this world that God gave. Amen. Understand that the Bible says he gave his only begotten son. Amen. So we thank God for the gift that he gave his only begotten son. And we thank him for salvation. So God bless you all. Let us pray. Father God, as we leave the sign but never your presence. Father God, we in the name of Jesus Christ, we come on tonight. All that we have received on tonight, Lord, we ask that you bring it back to our remembrance, oh God, that we apply to our daily lives so that we may live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. That we may live a victorious life. Amen. Through Christ Jesus, who has saved us. Hallelujah. That overcame everything in this world. And Lord, we just want to say thank you, Father God. We thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're about to do in the life of your children, oh God. All that believe and trust in you. And Lord, we trust and believe, and we just want to say thank you. Father God, as we lay down on tonight to sleep, oh God, we ask, oh God, that your warring angels be around us to protect us and those in our family. We declare and declare right now your faithfulness, oh God, to us, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for your everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. We give it all over to you right now for eternity, oh God. It's we meet again, Lord. We thank you that it is you that keep us and protect us, that your word continues to be in our mouth. We declare and declare by faith that it is so and it shall be the other way, that we are blessed, that we are saved by you, Heavenly Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Lord, I ask that you hear the heart of your children on tonight. And we thank you for it, Lord. You all be blessed. We love you here at the Gospel Public Ministries. Tell somebody, help somebody else. Encourage someone with your words. Amen. Lift them up. Speak life over them. Amen. Speak healing to their body and peace to their mind and by faith. Amen. That it will be so in Jesus' name. God bless you. God keep you. You all be safe again. Have a Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice.